Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 112 of Construct Your Criticism. I'm your host, just like literally 110 other episodes, to be clear. And I'm joined by my permanent co-host for the time being, you know, because, you know, all my other co-hosts, they leave me. Manny Morez, what's up, man?
Not much.
So as you guys can tell, Matt Kling is not here, and that's okay. Matt has quit Magic. Matt is not enjoying Magic, and he was really enjoying the podcast, but didn't feel like being on a podcast where, you know, he wasn't playing Magic was very productive, and I agreed with him, and I told him he could go. So, you know, apparently it's, you know, every podcast has their curses. And this one is people who listen to it quit Magic, or people who are on it quit Magic.
That is an absolute terrible curse to place on me. Thanks, dude.
It's actually funny. You quit Magic, like, the day before you joined this podcast.
The day before? Oh my gosh, you're right. Yeah, I did.
So, you know.
So I already got it out of my system.
Yeah, in case you did the same thing, he lasted for 100 episodes, right? So
that's a long time.
So you got till, like, episode 208.
Yeah,
so
to somewhere in there.
Yeah. Well, thank you everybody for joining us this week. We're really excited to bring you another episode of the podcast. Don't forget that the people who actually bring you the podcast, though, are Oasis Games. You can check them out at oasisgamessllc.com. You get 15% off of your first order by using the code CCMTG at checkout.
Yeah, you guys, I work there. I'm going to go work there in 2 hours, and that's a bigger discount than I get.
That's true. That's a fun fact. It's also a bigger discount than I get.
Yeah.
So
take advantage.
Yeah, go for it, guys. There's no risk to buying cards at Oasis Games. You're just going to get cards that are graded correctly, and they're going to have everything you need in stock. So you can also use the code WouldThatBeGood at checkout. It's going to be 5% off of every order in case you've already used that CCMTG code. So check them out, guys. Pretty great place to buy Magic cards. Don't forget that you can also support us directly via our Patreon page. That's it. patreon.com/CCMTG, and you can be a Patreon supporter, and it means a lot to us. For those who, you know, are waiting for me to call our supporters Patreons, I've decided to instead just call everyone Patreon supporters, so I don't get the two mixed up.
You don't want to call them patrons?
Well, that's what they are. They're patrons, but they're also Patreon supporters, so I can
you're
say
making,
that.
You're making this way too difficult.
Or I'm fixing an issue that I have.
Okay.
One of the two. That's about hashtag always improving, is what that is.
Teamer.
What?
Because you don't say teamer, you say rug. So I decided to say teamer.
Sometimes I say teamer.
I don't think I've ever heard you say it.
All right.
Like, we're talking about, like, the card teamer battle rage, probably.
Okay. Fair enough. Well, maybe that's how I could hashtag always improve. But this week at Magic, every week, we talk about how we improved at Magic just a little bit. Because that's what this show is all about. It's all about us improving as Magic players along with you guys. We also have a Patreon question every week where one of our Patreon supporters can submit a question to the Patreon thread. It is on the Patreon right now, so if you are a supporter, please go check it out. Post any question you have, and it can be as detailed as you want. We want to take about 10 to 15 minutes for this segment. So if you have a question, please go and post it, and we'd be happy to discuss it. When we have guests on in the future, we will post, you know, something so that the Patreon supporters can also post questions to the guests. Great benefit of being, you know, even just a $1 a month Patreon supporter.
helps us out a lot.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
so,
one day, you know, we hope, fingers crossed, knock on wood, that you guys as a whole, you know, are going to be able to send us to GPs, and we'll be able to write articles about those kind of things and talk about those kinds of experiences and share them with you.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully this is how I support my Magic career completely and can share those experiences, get awesome guests. Like, if I get pay guests, like, ooh, it's a whole other story, right?
Yeah.
I can get any guest I want at that point. And that's you know, we've had great guests. We've had PV, John Finkel, you know, Alexander Hain, like,
It's not like
I'm short on getting guests. It's just like, and like Mike Segrist and I are in talks of doing a podcast together, like in the near future. And Big Z, he's been on the schedule multiple times, and just things haven't worked out. So I can get great guests. It's just like, you know, the Patreon is another great way to make that happen. So, but this week in Magic, I played Magic all day Sunday with Casey. Casey has stopped has...
He's quit quitting.
He's quit quitting, and we played Vintage, we played Standard. I even played my Modern deck against his Vintage deck, and crushed him, by the way.
Really?
Yeah. Well, he was playing some stupid brew in Vintage, and I was like, fine, here's Living End, die.
Seems good for you.
It was great. I played Magic all day. I did a stream today. If you guys got to watch that, awesome. I played some sweet Magic. Went 2-1 in a draft. You don't get to see round one because my opponent used very, very vulgar language in the chat, and I decided to delete that part from the stream.
If you can check it out, though, he just showed me game three of round. Was it round two?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was insane. It was, like, the craziest thing I've ever seen. You guys need to go watch this.
So, yeah, it was pretty good. So, I played a lot of Magic. I got better by playing Magic. My break is over. I plan on playing more and more. Obviously, there's a two-month break for PPDQs, but I hope to, like, hit the new PPDQ swing, so.
This last week, I improved. I started messing around with Cockatrice some. I started, you know, making some brews. Unfortunately, they were all just, you know, ham sandwiches. They were so, so bad. I tried Naya Prowess. Did not work out, you know, at all. But sure. That's okay, you know.
What's in Naya Prowess? Is it just like red, white with a Targus Command?
A Targus Command, and I wanted Dromoka's Commands as well because they synergize so well with Secret of the Way.
Sure. That's one of the ways that Casey beat me this weekend is he just like... was on the play and played a Secret of the Way and like Dromoka's Command killed my guy and
it's,
just like
it's so attacked powerful.
And
then
like played another spell just, yeah. Killed my guy and it was just like oh yeah. Alright well I'm never beating this stupid Secret
no,
of the Way
no it's just I will gain 4 you'll lose a creature good talk okay take 4
yeah
alright let's do this again
yeah it's yeah so well at least you got some your brewing muscles flexed so
yeah I mean it's one of my secret and you know secret passions that I'm terrible at but I love doing it and it I feel like it makes me a better Magic player.
You know, something that people don't talk about with brews a lot is, so I play basically nothing but brews, it feels like, but no one recognizes that I do that.
And I think part of that is because you have a very specific play style, and you make that a reality with every new set that comes out. So you, like, while the cards are different, you're still playing the same, and, like, you're just finding and making new ways to do that with the cards available to you. So they're not always the same, but, like, you see what I'm saying?
But it's like people say, like, call me a net decker, and it's like, I play, like, Raptor Abzan. Yeah, like, or almost
Raptor Rug.
Yeah, like, and it's funny, it's flexing your brewing muscles doesn't have to be, like, you're playing, like, mono blue turn fog, like... It can be you're playing Rug in this format. It can
absolutely.
Be, yeah. I mean, like the Temerai deck from the Pro Tour. Like that deck was sweet. That was a brew. That wasn't like he's not a like. I don't know. Four color midrange is there's a lot of different four color midrange decks in this format. But everyone who's playing like a non conventional one, they are brewing those decks. It's not like they took those decks from somewhere.
No, definitely.
So. All right, so no Patreon question this week that I went and checked it out. No one's... people are liking... they like that we're asking them to ask a Patreon question. Just no questions yet. So if you are a Patreon, it can be as a supporter. It can be as low as $1. You can ask us anything you want. In-depth deck lists.
You can ask me what I like for breakfast.
I hope it's like country fried steak and eggs.
I mean, you can't have that every day, right? You'd be so fat.
What... You know, it's funny, though, because, like, it would be good for you to just have steak and eggs every morning for breakfast.
I mean, to a degree, you still gotta, like, monitor your fats, right?
Well, not if you're only eating protein, right? If you just eat zero carbs, it wouldn't matter.
Probably not. I mean, your body does use fats as fuels.
Yeah, so. I know things.
All right.
I'm just fat. Making fun of me over here. Well, let's go into our weekly power ranking segment. So every week we do... a segment that's a little bit different than a lot of podcasts. Most people, they just go over top 8 decks. We wanted to be different when we started this. We didn't want that to be what we do. We want to present you with information. And this is information that you're not getting from just looking at a top 8. So what we do is we rank decks from 5, you know, 1 to 5. And we give them points according to their finishes in tournaments. This time we have the last two super IQs from the SEG. And then the Modern GP. And then what we've done is we've taken those decks and we've ranked them. You get 6 points for first, 5 points for second, 4 points for third and fourth, 3 points for top eight, 2 points for top 16, and 1 point for top 32 if available. So the only top 32 in this rankings is going to be the GB. The rest points all came from top 16s. So, coming at number five, in fact, this deck is just usually just blue-green.
Yeah, it's super good. I mean, it's very much a combo deck like Boggles is, where, I mean, you can draw just a terrible hand and have nowhere to go from there. And you can also mull down to four and still crush it.
Yeah. Number four, we have Tron. This is just green-red Tron. There wasn't really any other Tron variants in there. Number three, we have Jund and Junk. There was only one Junk deck. The rest of them were all occupied in the Jund space. So very little Siege Rhinos.
Right.
Number two, we have Affinity. This was making up the number one spot for the majority of the rankings. Only took the top second place or something from the SEG to knock it out. So, It was two. It was a fourth and a fifth. So two in the top eight of the this weekend's SEG that knocked Affinity down. So, and then at number one, yeah, we have Twin with one Jeskai variant. We included the Jeskai Twin that won the GP in the this.
Cool. I haven't seen that list yet, but I would be very interested in taking a look at it.
Well, let's go ahead and read it for the listeners.
Sweet.
I'll pull it up really quick. So this list is pretty sweet. It's basically Jeskai control with the Twin combo, which is exactly how I like this deck to be built. So we have one Wall of Omens, four Snapcaster Mage, four Deceiver Exarch, one Pestermite, one Vendilion Click, two Restoration Angel, one Kiki-Jiki. That is also a combo with Kiki-Jiki. Mm-hmm. Four Serum Visions, four Lightning Bolt, four Path to Exile. That's a lot of creature removal. Two Spell Snare, one Dispel, three Remand, one Electrolyze, one Cryptic Command, three Splinter Twins, 23 lands. That is not a lot of lands.
That is not very many.
Yeah. So you're like really... That is so little lands.
I mean, they do have things like Serum Visions to help you get...
Yeah, four Serum Visions is a large number. You have one Wall of Omens. But man, 23 lands, that's not a lot.
Nah, it's a little more variance than I would prefer.
That's so crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we included that list in this Twin conversation. But let's go into this. Like, what do you think of these rankings? Are these the top five decks in your opinion in Modern right now?
I would say, actually, Jund taking third place is very surprising to me. I don't know that I've seen it do that well in the past. Since, you know, a lot of its cards got banned way back when. So that surprises me. I mean, Jund is a very good deck.
Jund had the second most finishes in these events.
That blows my mind. I mean, it has a very good matchup against Twin, so I guess that's not surprising.
And with Kolaghan's Command, its affinity matchup got way better.
Right, yeah, that's definitely going to be in its favor, so I guess that makes sense. Twin being number one, I mean, that is completely unsurprising to me. That deck has always done well, and I think it will continue to do well. I don't think anything has... I mean, even though other decks may have good and fair matchups against it, you know, like Jund, I still think that it's going to, you know, continue to combo off on turn four and just take it. Just take games that it's not supposed to.
Yeah, I mean, the thing for me, if we look at the last rankings we had, it was Tron, Affinity, Jund at three last time.
That's right.
Zoo and Burn. So the only decks to stay on here are actually Tron, Jund, and Affinity. And then they all kind of shuffled a little bit. Mm-hmm. Honestly, and then our honorable mentions are actually pretty close. Like, for this time, our honorable mentions are Bloom and Scapeshift. So Scapeshift is still in, like, right in, out of the top five again.
I think it's going to continue to be that way. I think Scapeshift is a very good deck, but for, you know, whatever reason, maybe it's hard to pick up or put together, but a lot of people tend to shy away from it as...
Yeah, no one plays it.
No.
But that says a lot about the deck, that it's always in, like, fifth, like, sixth place.
Yeah, that's true. That's definitely true. I think the people that are piloting that deck really know what they're doing, I think, most of the time, and don't let this go to your head. But I think that a lot of people playing Scapeshift are very comfortable with it. They've probably been playing it a long time. I mean, I played against it this last Modern season. A guy had it completely foiled up. He's like, oh, I've been playing this for years. This is my favorite deck. I'll never play anything else.
Yeah. And the Bloom players, like, it was funny because, like, during the GP, they were saying, they're like, Bloom is dominating this tournament. We expect 2 in the top 8. Mm-hmm. None in the top 8, only 1 in the top 32. That whole tournament. So, I mean, it's not doing as well as people think it's doing. And I think that the deck just loses to itself. As far as, like, the decks in the top 5, though, getting away from those honorable mentions, the Scapeshift and Bloom decks, I just don't like Infect in this format. I think there's too much Jund, and, like...
I mean, the Twin has a lot of removal. Grixis Twin has a lot of removal. I think it's too much.
Yeah. I mean, I just don't want to play against Jund. I don't want to play against Twin. I don't know what the Infect matchup was like. I would assume that it can't be good for you. Aren't they faster than you?
I think typically they can be, but you're about on the same clock. But as a Twin player, you have a lot more control of the board.
Affinity.
Oh, Affinity. I think that's right. I think Affinity might be faster.
Yeah, I would assume that, like, you're not favored against Affinity in that matchup, and I really wouldn't want to play it. I don't know, but, like, people who play Infect, they play it really well, and they do really well with it.
Right, and I mean, that might be partly because a lot of people are not used to playing against Infect.
Yeah, for me, well, let's just talk about what we play in Modern right now. For me, I'm on Jund and Scapeshift. Same thing as I was on last time. Hasn't changed. I played Jund today. Before Manny was coming over here, I was playing Jund. I'm on basically the same list. I love Jund right now.
I would probably try either Grixis Delver or Grixis Twin. I really like the access to those colors. I think that they're good lists. They may not be, I think, the best right now, but I think they're the ones that I personally would have the most success with.
Why not just play Tassiger, Gurmag Angler control in Grixis?
I mean, that's very good, but that specific list hasn't put up any great results lately.
So it had 2 finishes, and the decks you're talking about had none.
No, so one of the one you're thinking of is a Grixis Delver list.
No, these are both Grixis control lists.
Are you sure? Because I swear I just saw it, like, right...
Oh, maybe...
Yeah, I'm, like, maybe positive. I'm positive. It finished at the last SCG IQ...
Oh, sorry, so I...
11th.
Okay. So these are both GP results.
Oh, okay. I see.
So there was 2 Grixis decks in the top 32 or better at the GP.
Okay, and neither of which was a Delver list.
Right.
Okay. I mean, they're good lists. I really like being able to flip a Delver and just have it win me the game.
Sure.
It's.
I mean, a lot of people have success with Grixis Delver. I was just surprised you wanted to play it.
Well, I jammed it in Legacy, so I have before Dig Through Time got the Banhammer. And I really, really liked it. I love the synergy with Young Pyromancers. Like, I love the way the deck plays.
Sure. So, where are you at in Modern right now? Do you like the format? Do you hate the format?
I think after last season, last Modern season, I got really sick of it. But now that it's gone, you know, I'm fondly remembering it and wanting to go back and wanting to play more Modern. So I'm getting over being jaded, and I really want to start playing some more games and probably start picking up, you know, cards here and there from Oasis.
There you go. Use your employee monies.
Oh, yeah, you bet.
Your employee monies. My dog decided that he wanted to come sit on my lap.
He's the cutest.
Yeah. By the way, for those wondering why we might sound different this week, we're actually recording in the same room. We haven't done this since about episode, like, 50-something.
Yeah, we've got
on this podcast.
Big silver microphone between us.
Yeah, so it's why I bought the mic, was to do the podcast with, like, a couple people in the same room and, like, have this experience, this face-to-face conversation with somebody as we do the podcast. So we're going a little bit back to our roots, so I hope that those who have been listening since about episode 1 are really enjoying the difference,
the transformation of
the
show.
The actual conversation happening between 2 people face to face about a format. So, well, let's go over. So, no card of the week this week. Sometimes, not even close every week, we will talk about a card that really is making impact. I was going to do Jace Viren's Prodigy in Vintage because of how much play it's been seeing in the dailies, but it's just like, I already talked about Jace. I don't know that there's a lot to talk about with Jace Viren's Prodigy, and so we're not going to do a card of the week this week, but maybe we'll do one next week.
So, I mean, have we, I mean, you've talked about it. How much have you gone into how people are building their decks differently in, like, Modern, Legacy, and Vintage because of that card?
And that would be a great topic. That would.
You just don't want to do it.
Yeah, it's just not today's topic.
All right. Fair enough.
It's a great...
Maybe next week, guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a card worth talking about. It's just, like, I'm not the one to talk about it. I need somebody who's as passionate about Jace Verdant's Prodigy.
Oh, sure. What we can do is we can talk to Matt about it, right?
Yeah, we'll can record steal, Matt talking about
we'll
it.
We'll steal his ideas.
Yeah, exactly. Perfect. There you go.
Man, he loves that card.
Played it in Legacy. He thinks it's hot stuff.
That's right.
But let's talk about a deal or no deal. And we don't really talk about spoilers much on this podcast. But we'll talk about... So the way the deal or no deal works, Manny, is... I give you a topic, and you tell me whether it's a deal, like a big deal, or no deal. All right.
So I wanna... Understood.
So, basic land waste. Deal or no deal?
Deal. I mean, it has to be a big deal, right? I mean, in... This is, it's a sixth color. Like, whether it doesn't impact the game at all, or it does, doesn't matter. I mean, this is, like, a whole big new thing. This is, like... I mean, it could be the equivalent to the same as Planeswalkers being printed for the first time.
I'm gonna go with no deal.
Why?
Because, like, we don't know what it does.
Yeah, no, I mean, we know what it does. It's a land, right?
Well, it taps for some kind of mana.
It taps for diamonds, and it makes monsters.
That's fine. But why is that a big deal? Aren't things already tapped for mana and make monsters?
Because we've only had, you know, six colors, including colorless, since forever.
But we don't know what this does. What if it's just a new colorless land?
I mean, that's fine, but that's like saying, you know, if, in essence... Wizards is introducing, like, a sixth color, right? Each color we have has a niche, right? Blue does control, green does... I mean, it does everything right now, but it's supposed to do big monsters.
Colorless does everything.
Sure, but
so
I mean,
this opens up a lot of design space, if it does what I think it does.
Or it could take away from maybe even colorless or something else.
Here's the thing. I don't know what this land does.
Sure.
What if it taps for diamond, and that's all it does? What if you can't cast any spell but a diamond spell with it?
I mean, I think that's what it'll do.
Well, that's the thing is, like, that wouldn't be no deal to me because I don't think it would make a huge impact.
I mean,
but, like, let's say...
But it's not about what it does by itself. It's about what comes after it taps for the diamond, right? What you use it for, what it could be utilized for,
but
what niche it takes up in the game.
Sure. I mean, I understand why you're saying it's a big deal. I'm saying until I know what this card does, it's no deal.
It's
how I feel about every spoiler all the time.
I think that's fair.
I just don't care what any of these cards... Like, this card has no text on it.
No.
It's literally a textless basic land that we don't even know what it taps for.
Right. Diamond.
Yeah. So, for me, it's no deal. I hope that it's tap for a colorless or this.
I mean, they would be the same, right?
No, they wouldn't be the same.
Okay.
Because what if that specific mana type can only be paid with diamond, right?
No, that's ridiculous, right? That's like saying you couldn't use, a planes to cast an artifact.
Yeah, that's what I said that people are saying that it does. They're saying that it only casts
that type of mana. That would be ridiculous and a huge design flaw.
Yeah, that's why it's no deal. We don't even know what it does.
Sure, okay.
Yeah, hopefully, but here's the thing, is that you don't want something like Painlands to be broken, right? Because if they can tap, since they can tap four colorless specifically, then if the colorless mana symbol changes to that diamond.
Right.
Then Painlands, like, all of a sudden are just... casting your armor cools.
Untap Triland, sure.
See?
It'd be pretty good.
See? Gotta think ahead. It's no deal until we know what it does.
I agree. We do need more information, but I don't think the Wizards would be that one-sided with it.
We'll see. We'll see what it does.
We'll see.
Who knows? Obi doesn't know.
Obi has no idea.
Obi's sleeping.
Yeah. He's dreaming about cars.
He was dreaming earlier. It was really cute. I love it when dogs dream. So let's talk about, last week we did a podcast on having confidence and the importance of it.
Right.
So every week on the podcast, we do a training grounds where we talk about something that's going to make you a little bit better at Magic. We're going to go in depth on a subject that hopefully can improve your Magic game and get you to the level you want to be at in Magic, whether it's winning your FNM, winning a game day, qualifying for the Pro Tour, beating your wife at Magic, you know, that Manny just can't do. Can't beat his girlfriend at Magic. She just always crushes
him.
She's
really good, man. You guys, you don't even know. She draws so hot.
So, like, whatever you want to be good at. Also, like, good for her. So, just crushing
it. Yeah, I guess.
So, whatever you want to be doing, hopefully these training grounds can help you get there. But let's talk. So last week we talked about the importance of having confidence.
But what happens when you have too much?
Then you're Manny Moretz.
Oh, low blow.
Oh, man. No, it's a real question. Like, what happens when we think too hard about too much of ourselves? And that can be a huge detriment.
Absolutely. You will not... If you believe that you can do something far better than you can do it, then number one, you'll stop getting better at it. And number two, it'll cause you to make mistakes.
Yeah, I mean, and it would cause you to not question yourself when you should be questioning yourself, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, overconfidence, the biggest thing about it would probably be, like, when you're sitting down to play a match of Magic and you make a mistake, you're like, ah, I didn't make a mistake. I'm too good to make that stupid mistake. My opponent got lucky. And right. That is a huge issue that you can run into with this. So this week we're going to talk about overcoming overconfidence, which Manny, for some reason, loves as a...
I like the ring to it. Phonetically, it sounds good. Overcoming overconfidence.
So,
could write a book about it.
So, what did we learn about the importance of having confidence that could lead us down the path to overconfidence? Well, a lot. So, last week I very much wanted to do the podcast without having to think about the negative sides of confidence. So, I wanted all of that podcast to be in the positive. So, with that being said, like, there's a lot of things that can happen where we get overconfident in ourselves. Like, I talked about when, you know, evaluating cards and, like, having confidence in that and how you can gain confidence in that. But, like, you know, if you become overconfident, you can think a card is bad forever and just never admit that it's good.
Right.
Because I think that card's bad and I'm right. And that's that could be a huge thing to overcome. You know, I know that I've struggled with that. Things like Nimble Mongoose. You guys all listened to it live. Matt finally convinced me that Nimble Mongoose was playable.
That took a long time.
It took years!
It took a long time.
It took years, literally years, to convince me that, you know, it was even a little bit playable.
Oh, man, that's so wild. The very first time I saw that card, I saw it beat Alex Sittner at an SCG Open, and I was like, oh my gosh, that card is so good.
So, there's a lot of things, you know. Is, for example, Grey Merchant of Asphodel. I mean, Casey probably still won't admit that that card is playable.
I mean...
I still won't admit that it's playable. I think it's terrible.
In that format, it was perfectly playable.
No.
It was beyond playable.
It was not any different than a Corrupt.
It was the exact same as Creator's Clause, but better.
Oh my goodness, stop.
Think about it. The board state that you would have playing Mono Black Devotion, by the time you jam that, it did... way more than a Creator's Clause for 4.
Any card that could have turned on your Underworld connections would have done the exact same thing.
Sure, but I mean, that was like, it was part of a strategy, you see.
Right, but if you just jammed Corrupts instead, it wouldn't have been any different.
Sure. Anyway, moving on. Overconfidence.
So no, I think that it's some, like, obviously I'm still not willing to admit that Grey Merchant of Asphodel is playable, right?
Sure.
I'm still not. I'm not willing to.
I know.
I am in denial, and that's something that's caused by something like overconfidence.
Okay.
I mean, I'm willing to admit that I'm probably wrong,
uh-huh.
But I'm not willing to say that that card is playable because it's not.
Okay.
So.
I feel like this is like the kind of crazy logic circle that would make a robot explode and like melt down.
I hope so. I hope that our listeners feel the exact same. I hope they're like, what is wrong with this guy?
Just say it. Just say it was playable.
I have on the podcast before.
Okay.
I think that in the context of the deck, it was playable.
Right.
But, like, people trying to jam it into Modern was crazy.
That is insanity. That makes sense.
Just play Seedrino, guys.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think that there's a lot of times that we don't admit that, like, maybe we're not as good as we think we are.
Absolutely. I think I remember very, very specifically... one of the very first tournaments I played at Oasis, you and I still weren't, you know, we'd known each other since we were little kids. We just barely reconnected, you know, because I started playing Magic. This is when I started playing early on. I was very much into brewing my own decks because I was in camp. Net decking is like the worst thing in the world, and if you do it, you have no creativity, this, that, and the other. I was that guy. So finally I was playing, and, you know, after a tournament one day, like, I went outside and I was just screaming my head off, expletive deleted, this, that, the other, like... you can probably hear me down the block with how hard I was swearing. And finally, I came back inside, and you were laughing your head off behind the desk, and you're like, hey, Manny, why don't you just play, like, a deck that you know is good? And, like, it, like, well, you asked me, do you want to win? And I said, yes, more than anything. And then you said, play this deck, and you showed me Mono Black Devotion. I was like, fine, give it to me. I, like, put all my money on the table. You gave me a bunch of cards, and then I started winning. And it, like, it took me so long to just swallow my pride and swallow what I believed and then listen to somebody who knew more than me. And, you know, it paid off.
I used to give that spiel a lot. There's a three specific players that I gave that spiel to.
Yeah?
You were the third. You know, some people get frustrated. They get frustrated with what's going on. And it's a lesson that everyone has to learn. It's that it's all about your goals in Magic. Because your goal was not the same as the same people who are playing, like, Mono Green Beatdown at their FNM. That's not... You don't have the same goals as them.
No.
And it's all about evaluating what your goals are and sucking it up.
Yeah.
Because, you know what? Owen Turnwald, who made this deck list, is probably better than you. Sam Luck made this deck list, he's probably better than you.
I mean, and not only that, but, like, thousands of tournament results
right. And
players. And it's just raw data that I was ignoring.
Right. And so I've said those exact words to a few people, three that I can think of off the top of my head, that, you know, how do I get better Magic? And, you know, I'm like, how do I make this deck better? And then instead of giving them advice in the deck, I said, do you just want to win? And their answer is yes. Their answer is always yes. Otherwise, yeah. They wouldn't be asking the question.
Nobody wants to lose.
Well, no, not necessarily. Some people want to win, but they want to win with that deck.
Right. They want
to
win.
And that's not the same thing as wanting to win.
Right.
And that's when this overconfidence thing that Manny's talking about, where you have to suck it up and just say, yeah, I just want to win way more than I want to play this deck.
Right. I mean, at the time, I believed that I could make a really great tier one deck by myself with my own thoughts. And I don't think that's out of, you know, that's out of contention still. I still think that I am able to do that, or I will be able to do that one day.
Day you'll brew Teemer.
Right. I mean, so, I hate you. So there's going to be a lot of trial and error. There's going to be, you know, a few months ago, I did brew a deck that was, it looked like a pile of nonsense. Spencer, Casey, Matt, Quentin could all vouch for it, but I beat every one of them with it.
And what was it?
It was that Jeskai deck where I played God's Willing in the main board.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, so I would say it was a bad deck now, but I didn't lose with it, so I don't know if I can say that.
Well, it's all about, like, and this is a very specific thing of overconfidence, right? Admitting when you're wrong about building a deck is it's true. Like, you have to give up when you've made that wrong decision and you've made that bad deck.
Right.
But, like, we've gone down the rabbit's hole into deck building, and that's not the entire thing.
No, we'll talk about other things, but I think just for right now, that's what we're talking
about.
Yeah,
like, the
deck building as it pertains to confidence.
Yeah, like, as far as it goes, it's important to, like, know what your goals are in that, and, like, don't get attached to things. If you, it is a form of overconfidence to just not be willing to admit that your specific brew is not good.
Right, and that could be said the same could be said for picking, you know, a deck choice. Let's say, you know, at the beginning of the format, you decided you love Jeskai, and you chose that it was the best deck that there could ever be, and your confidence was in only playing that deck.
Okay, keep going.
So, because you had such confidence in it, and your playability with it, you know, as the format went on, you know, it was very clear that that deck was not one of the best decks. But by then, you had already grown attached to it, you'd already become confident with it, that you're no longer willing to choose to move on to a different and better deck.
Okay. So, how do you... So, what are... Let's move on from the deck building thing. Let's talk about other things. Like, maybe I should pose this as a question, and deck building can be in it. Deck choices can be in it. But what are things that you have been cocky about or overconfident about that you've had to overcome? Other than... I mean, you've already said that deck building thing was one of them.
So other things are when my opponent has to take, you know, a mulligan or two or three, you know, I can visibly see my winning percentage just go up. And I think, you know, I'm like, oh, this sucker went down to four. I'm in it. Like, there's no way I can lose. You know, I end up playing sloppy and they just draw hotter than the sun, and they take it, and it's all my fault because I let it happen.
I think that everyone has done that.
Yeah,
it's... Where they've been, like, they're on a mold of five, like...
It's not a good feeling. It's a bad one, where, you know, you think, man, if I had just played the way I was gonna play it, the way I was supposed to play it, I probably could have taken that game.
I think that, for me, I had a very long stretch of overconfidence, where three of my first five PTQs, I top-8ed, and, like, my win percentage at competitive REL was, like, something stupid, like...
Like 80?
Yeah, like 80 or 85%.
So in your mind, after these three events, you're just like, oh, I'm supposed to top-8 every single time, right?
Oh, yeah, I should just top-8 like, every PTQ.
Like, that's just going to keep happening for me.
Yeah, and then, like, I went a long time without top-8ing another PTQ. And that is caused by, like, very specific emotions that you have going into a tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And having that overconfidence and having that... When I got that first loss, it was like...
You're like, what is happening right now? This isn't how Magic goes.
Yeah, it was something that it's very easy to overcome. Like, having very quick success. I think that Brad Nelson has talked about this. And him having, like... This very early success, this very quick success, where he was having better results than he actually was,
right?
And winning player of the year, I believe he said is like, was not great for him because it was like, man, I was not this good,
right?
And don't get me wrong, because like, and don't get him wrong, because Brad Nelson is like literally one of the best standard players in the entire world,
right?
But it is something that I think he has cited, like, I was not as good as my results were. And so it became harder and harder to keep up because I thought it was better than I was. And I think that I had a similar experience at the PTQ level where I thought I was hot stuff.
Right.
I mean, you still think I'm hot stuff, but...
Man, I've seen you tear it up with Rug. It's ridiculous.
But that being said, I've learned something from that experience, and... It's funny because if there's anybody who can vouch for this, it's like I tear myself down now a lot,
mm-hmm.
and you try and build me up.
I don't try, I do. I'm gonna claim, you know, a few of your PPTQ wins are directly because of my pep talks.
Do you mean one?
Yep, maybe more than one. I don't remember. I can't recall.
Well, I've won two PPTQs.
I'm gonna say two then. I'm going on a limb. Say both.
All right, well...
I was texting you.
This is the prime example of being cocky about something. But I think that the point is like, for me, it's been results. I got cocky about results. I've been cocky about all kinds of results, like draft results, you know, just win percentage results. It's something that I think I fall into quite easily. And it's hard to overcome. It's hard to overcome, like, that... thing that's happening to you. For example, I had like, I mean, I still think that I have 100% win percentage against French Burial Rites with Wolf Run, and it's a bad matchup. And so, like, when people would tell me, like, hey, this is like a bad matchup for the second, like, no, it's not.
Watch,
you're
this.
Not doing it right, and then I would win. And it was literally 100% of the time that I would win. And it took all the way until, like, Paulo was actually on the podcast with us on Brain Tapped, an old podcast that I did, where, like, he was like, no, like, this is legitimately a bad matchup for you. Then yeah. I was like, are you sure? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, oh, you're way better at Magic than I am, so.
I'll listen.
I'll listen. But it, like, even matchups, like, can be something that you are overconfident about. That you think that you're better in than you are. And that down the road, like, when you go to, like, a PTQ or an RPTQ, a GP or a Pro Tour, like, if you think that a matchup's good for you and it's not, and, like there, that could lead you down a very dark path to losing. And if you're overconfident in that matchup, that's a problem.
Right. And, I mean, I think, so, going in a little deeper there, because, you know, you could be overconfident about, a particular matchup, you may not have researched... You know, all of the things you can do to hedge your bets. The correct way to sideboard, you know, the what to play against, what cards that you should be worried about, that you should play around, things like that.
Yeah. So that's a huge one that I think that a lot of people can fall into. So, with all these things we're talking about, with matchups, results, deck choices, all of these things in Magic that can you can get sucked into this feeling I'm the very best, like no one ever was. I'm like, I'm not Ash Ketchum. I actually am that great. Like, where do you go from there? How do you, I mean, Manny, we both cited, you listened to me, I listened to Paulo, and just like took their word as gospel and moved forward. I mean, that's a pretty extreme example, right? Where you literally...
It's definitely a leap. I mean, I wouldn't call it a leap of faith, but trusting something somebody else says when you don't know it to be true is a hard thing for anyone to do.
Why?
I mean, I think it's ingrained in all of us to, you know, trust oneself more than anybody else for the majority of the time, you know? Like, if you tell me to close my eyes and cross the road, I'm gonna be like, probably not today, dude. But, I mean,
you're a great example of this. I tell you not to do stuff all the time. You do it. You tell me, oh, that was stupid. I don't know why I did that.
Yeah.
Magic. And
yeah.
And so maybe there is something to like listening to those better people around you and like having their experience humble you.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And I think part of that, right, is that I know you're right quite a lot of the time, partly because, you know, I haven't listened to you. Like, if I just listened to you all the time and maybe things worked out, maybe they didn't, right?
Or not even just me. Like, we're using me as an example because I'm the person you talk to the most.
Sure,
but, like,
right.
If Quentin gave Alex gave you advice or Matt, like, if you don't listen, I think that a lot of people refuse to believe that there's as much of gaps in skill as there are in magic.
I agree.
And, like, it's hard for them to admit, like, that your, like, very close friend that you spend copious amounts of time with can be that much better than you at a game.
Right. I mean, and I've played games with Matt watching me, and he'll just, you know, or you or whoever, you know, and they'll just tear into me. They'll be like,
yeah, so I this literally is the, this... took a pen and paper and wrote down.
I don't want to talk about that.
No, this is a great example. You went from, like, here, and I'm putting my hand up in the air, to after that match of me reading you your list of misplays, to down here.
Yeah.
And it was a bringing you level.
Yeah. And I mean, it showed me like all the things that I was doing wrong. It definitely curbed that overconfidence problem fast.
But what happens, like, why is listening to a great player around you, or even a good player, just somebody who's better than you, like, you're going 1-3 at FNMs, this other guy's going 4-0, why not just sit and chat with them?
I mean, like, absolutely. That's exactly why.
Like, why are you so unlucky, quote unquote?
Right. Yeah. And that's something that I did. That's the crutch that I leaned on when I was very first learning the game. Is like, oh man, I can't believe my opponents are just always getting so lucky. You know, they're so good at drawing the cards they need. And then as I got better, as I got more into the game, as I got more serious, you know, there are things that you learn by talking to people, and you realize that it's not an accident, it's not luck, that a lot of the times it's just really play skill. It's just being good at the game, knowing the game.
So how does it happen? How do you go from, I'm going to play my deck, I'm going to play the way I want, and I'm going to win with it, and everybody else is just lucky, and my deck's sweet, to Spencer literally sitting behind you with a pen and paper writing down all of your misplays?
I think part of overcoming overconfidence is in accepting the fact that if you are not on top, if you're not the best, if you haven't top 32 to Pro Tour, that you can most likely learn something just by talking to players around you who do better than you, or who are, you know, who've been playing longer, and just by like opening yourself to learning more from whoever and wherever you can.
I've qualified for a Pro Tour, and I don't think that I am close to where I could be as a Magic player. Not even, like, 1/1000th of it. Right. I've day 2 to Pro Tour. I don't think I'm 1/1000th of it. You know, I've, you know, cashed GP. I've cashed every SCG Open I played in, but, like, 1 or 2. I don't even, like, I played in a ton of them. I just, and it's not, I'm not bragging. These are things that I've done. They don't actually matter, though, right? Like, until I actually, like, win Worlds or win a Pro Tour, like, it actually just doesn't matter.
No.
It doesn't. It doesn't matter at all. It matters heads up against Matt Kling, who I just want to crush. But always, it doesn't matter.
I think it does matter. And where I would put that in is from our training grounds last week, where those are, and this is where I feel like you've actually had kind of a problem, because you come down on yourself really hard.
But it's from the flip side. It's from being at that point where I wasn't top 80 PTQs anymore.
Right.
And so I just was like, no, I'm bad at Magic. I need to say I'm bad at Magic.
Yeah.
And just let's be real. I know where I'm at in Magic. Just because I'm vocalizing it one way, it's to do the exactly what we're talking about. It's a coping mechanism that I've come up with to bring myself to the right place. Like, if I tap my mana wrong once in an entire match, even if I decimate my opponent, mm-hmm. I did that wrong.
Right.
And I need to fix that first things first.
Yeah. You know,
it's and I'm bad at Magic because I did it, because I could have not done it.
You know, it's really funny, because I actually feel like I have very little confidence in the game. And, like, if you didn't tell me that I had the potential to be a good player, I probably would not have believed it for the longest time. But that's why I'm always saying such high things to myself. Is because if I don't, I go, oh, I'm crap. Like, I'm bad at this game. I suck. I should never touch another Magic card again. So that's why, like, I say all these things to pump myself up.
Sure, and I think that's the weightlifter's mentality.
Yeah, it definitely might be. That's, like, that's, my biceps aren't big enough.
Like, yelling at yourself that you're stupid and you suck while you're, like, lifting weights is something very common you see at the gym.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's not a problem. It's just, like, it's very different approaches to the same problem. Either right. You're underconfident or you're overconfident. And I found a way to compensate for my overconfidence by telling myself that I suck so hard.
Right.
That's
good. Yeah, I never thought of that. You are so full of yourself.
But that all happened by looking inwards, right? That happened by looking at myself and being like, all right, dude, so you took second at your third PTQ ever. You got kind of a little bit unlucky and you didn't qualify for the Pro Tour. You know, like, you're still hot stuff. But then it's like, maybe I'm not. Maybe I got lucky to take second at that Pro Tour, uh-huh. at that PTQ. Maybe I'm not good enough to be at the Pro Tour yet. Maybe these, like, string of 9th and 10th places is an inward problem mm-hmm. at PTQs that, like, if I just get a draw early, if I just, like, if I'm not getting this loss so soon, like, that can be easily fixed.
Yeah.
So, it's all about finding where you're at and getting to the right place. Like, what is the right place for you to be at? Because either it's hard to be in that happy middle. I think that Owen Turnwell, this is a good example of this, mm-hmm. because Owen Turnwell is the best player in the world.
Right.
So where should he be?
I mean, I think he's gotten to be the best player in the world by knowing exactly where he needs to be, which right. is, like,
and
jamming Moto for, like, you know, 40, 60 hours a week, and, like, playing GP is literally whenever they occur.
But what I mean is, like, he gets coffee for John Finkel.
Uh-huh.
And, like, you know, it sounds kind of dumb, but, like, he legitimately surrounds himself with people that have skills that are better than him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, John Finkel's the best player of all time. It's not a debate. Some people would say Kai, but it's not. It's not a debate. Like, the guy has, like, 15 Pro Tour top 8s. Like,
right.
he's the best player. He's
still crushing it. Like,
he's the best player ever. And Owen's like, I'm going to learn from John Finkel. I may be the best player right now, but John's the best of all time.
Right.
And that's the kind of thing that you can do to stem... That's how you get, like, not overconfident.
That's how you get 15.
Yeah. The thing is, like, the great example of this is, I believe it was on the podcast with Patrick Chapin and Mike Flores. They talked about, like, John getting drunk with, like, off whiskey, and then, like, when, and, like, watching Owen play
mm-hmm.
against, like, Huey, and then, like, just being like, here, let me tag in Huey, and just crushing him, decimating Owen, like, destroying him while he's just wasted. It's actually really funny, because this is actually something that I used to do with Gage, uh-huh. is I'd, like, and if you might know this, that I love being the third person in playtesting, just watching the matches.
Yeah.
And then just tagging in
yeah.
and, like, showing how I think a match should be played.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is something that I used to do with Gage, where I'd watch him and somebody else play and then, like, tag out the other person as Gage was winning
uh-huh.
and decimate him. And I think that it's good. I think it's a good thing for people. Because, first of all, it keeps my confidence up, mm-hmm. but it also lowers the person's confidence that might be overhyped.
Right.
I'm not recommending to people that they get drunk and do this. I'm just saying that this...
you guys, listeners, get drunk and dream crush your friends.
But what I'm saying is that Gage made an act of surrounds himself with people who are better at Magic than him. Owen did the same thing.
Right.
And by doing that, you keep your confidence in check. Because...
That's a very valid point. I think that's a great thing to take away from this.
Well, I mean, that has to be why you do it.
Ha.
Right? Why do you surround yourself with Matt and Quentin and Alex?
To learn.
But you could be the best player at another store.
That holds no value for me, right? So because I have these goals, because I want to, you know, win PPTQs. I want to win RPTQs. I want to go to the Pro Tour. That's my goal. I mean, I have the rest of my life to do it, but that doesn't mean, you know, I want to get started as soon as I can. And to meet those goals, I want to talk to and learn from people who have already achieved those goals. Like, who better to learn from than people who have already done it? You know, I'm not gonna try to learn acrobatics from, like, you know, some guy walking down the street. Like, what's he gonna tell me about it?
Sure.
Whole lot of nothing.
So, on this side, so we've gone from how to bring yourself back down, but mm-hmm. once you get to the point when you don't want to let yourself go from cocky to self-doubt, so how do you stay on the straight and narrow, I guess? How do you go from, I mean, you just said that you think that I'm too hard on myself. So how do you moderate it? How do you make sure that you're at the right place and not either cocky or not confident enough?
I think doing that, you want to take a real world look at where your play is, you know, the amount of accomplishments you've had, you know, like what you've done, where you want to go. You want to look at those kind of things and keep them in real perspective. I mean, just because let's say I got second place at the PPTQ, you know, weekend before last.
Let's say that actually happened.
That did happen. Let's say I won it, right? Let's say I won it and I was on my way to the RPTQ. That's still not an excuse for me to slack off and say that I'm this great player, that I'm amazing, that I don't need to play, you know, at the very minimum, like, let's say 5 to 10 hours a week, because that's not true. I mean, you have goals that you need to reach. You can't let your head, like, being giant get in the way of that. You need to take a real-world perspective of where you are and where you want to go.
A great example of this is, like, you lift weights, right?
Yes.
So you get freaking swole, right? You get huge. And you're like, dude, I'm so swole. And then you're like, I'm going to party and go get girls because I'm so swole.
If I didn't have a girlfriend.
No, hold on. Sure. Hold on. We're... Let's say that you have not met Nicole yet.
Okay, single.
And you got to go get Nicole.
Okay.
So you got swole, and right. You're going to go get some girls.
I'm going to get all the girls.
Yeah, all
let's
the girls.
Get, let's get real here.
Yeah. So you go to the bar, you go to the bar, you go to work, you go to the bar, you get slammed. You go to the work, you go to the bar, you get slammed. And you do this to get girls because you're so swole for like 3 months, right?
Right.
You're not going to be very swole after 3 months.
I mean, you're going to be swole, but like around the middle section.
Like, it's not going to look the same.
Yeah, no, you're going to be chubby guy.
And that it's the same thing. Magic is the same way, in that you need to. Dave Farnham, he's done limited time only with me before. He and I have come to the same conclusion that you are the better at magic you are, the worse you know you are. And that comes from learning how to ride this confidence wave, because you get to these peaks where you're like, man, I'm really good at magic. And then, like, something, and then you're like, then you, as you get better, you start to see, like, things you didn't see that you were doing before, and you're like, then you drop, and you're like, wow, I'm so bad at magic.
Right.
Like, how did I not know this for 3 years?
Right.
And it seems so simple once you unlock that part of your brain, and once you unlock that part of the game, that, and this all comes from this confidence thing. It's because there's this huge wave of confidence over confidence, confidence over, like, that you need, and then even self-doubt. That you need to ride and just... You want it to be a straight line, right? Like,
yeah.
You want to be right where you need to be all the time, but that's just...
Yeah, no more, no less, like, ideally.
That's just not how humans work.
No, so, not at all.
So, my answer to it has been to force self-doubt upon myself. And I'm different than everybody else. That might not work for everybody, but I'd rather think about very small misplays that didn't impact the game that I can still use to improve than to think about the fact that I'm, you know, running hotter than the sun. Or the other way around, you know, I'd rather think about, like, the misplays that I made than think about how unlucky I got. Mm-hmm. It's just better. It's always better. It's always better to never look at the variance of the game and right. to always look at what you could be doing, even if the variants are supporting you or taking away from you. It doesn't matter which one it is.
Right.
You still should be at the place.
Yeah, there was a match in that top eight where I had no rights to win that game. Like, I, by all means, should have lost it, and I should have lost it handily. And my opponent, you know, didn't do that well. They didn't play that well. Casey informed me later that they were, like, you know, they weren't a good player. But, I mean, that's subjective, you know, whatever. So, I didn't deserve to win that game, you know, going up against this deck, this matchup. But, you know, I played as best as I could, to the best of my abilities, and I won, I took it. But it was a situation where I didn't, you know, let it get to my head, where I was like, oh, I won that, even though I wasn't supposed to, you know.
Sure.
I won... I don't know what I'm getting at. You know, like, you know where I'm trying to go with this? No, where, like, I didn't beat a bad matchup because I'm that good. Like, I just managed to...
But that keeps you level-headed, right?
Exactly.
Knowing, like, I beat this matchup when I shouldn't have. Like, I don't deserve to be at this point, so I'm just going to play where I can be now.
Exactly.
And that keeps you level-headed, and that's what we're trying to get to. Is overcoming the fact that you want... You want to think you're better than you are, right?
No.
Because you want to be better than you are.
So this is where I'm pretty good with battling overconfidence, where I always tell myself, like, I always whenever I compare myself to anyone, I compare myself to the best players in the world. And that humbles me instantly and immediately.
Oh yeah, that's the best way to do it, right?
Yeah. I go, and whenever anytime I think, like, oh, I'm so good, and then I go, I'm not Owen Turnbull good. And then back down to earth, boom.
Yeah, I think that a great example of this is, even for, like, myself and, like, players in the Salt Lake community that are pretty good at Magic, I think to myself all the time, I've had in-depth discussions with players in the Valley about this, is, like, man, it's super unfair that we don't get SEGs. I could be a semi-pro Magic player. I could go do that. And it's like, could I... Because, like, some of those semi-pro Magic players, like, they're on the Pro Tour every time. They might not be doing well at the Pro Tour, mm-hmm. but they're at least qualified every single time.
Right. There's a lot to be said for that.
Exactly. So, it's all about finding ways to humble yourself, but also realizing that, like, if you're winning every FNM you play in, maybe it's time to move up a bracket, right? Maybe FNMs aren't your thing anymore. And...
Yeah, you gotta find that guy.
Yeah.
Or those guys that love to tag in and beat you when you're winning.
Yeah, find the guy that's, like, you know, whiskey drunk and he wants to beat the crap out of you. Because it's helpful. I think it is. I think that I've seen that playing with Alex Sittner in my life. Even Brian Hawley. You know, there are players that I've surrounded myself with that did this too. We always come back to this. I think that it shows how important the fact is that, like, surrounding yourself with similar-minded and great players, it is so important. It really does so much.
Right.
And this is just part of it. So, awesome. I think the one thing that I want listeners to take away from this is that it's okay to be confident. It's not okay to be cocky. And that's a huge difference.
Yeah, if you don't think your confidence level is affecting your play, then, I mean, maybe you need to take a look at it. Yeah, your games, at your matches, your rounds. You need to have somebody who you know is better than you watch you.
I want to know. You hated me sitting there with a pen and paper.
Yeah.
Why did you hate it?
I hate when anybody sits behind my shoulder and watches me play. Like, directly by me. So it's, I think it's partly because I don't want to be embarrassed by making a misplay and looking dumb in front of my friends.
Okay.
It just, I don't know why. It, like, I turn red, I start to sweat. So anytime I'm playing and somebody's watching me, like, I don't mind them watching me as long as they're off to my sides and not in my same perspective.
But how else would they know that you were misplaying?
I mean...
Is that your point?
I mean, so I don't mind if someone, like, glances at my hand, but I don't like them trying to tag along, like, through my thought processes and, like, going through my lines of play with me.
All right. Interesting. Well, I hope that this was informative, interesting, helpful to you guys. If you have any questions about the topic or anything to throw in, like... It's very often that we'll get a tweet about the training grounds or two. I encourage you leave a comment in the on conservatism.com. You can just log into your Facebook to leave the comment. You also share the comment on your Facebook groups to start a discussion. So
yeah, we love talking to you guys. Like it seriously makes my day better when I look on my phone and I get to answer like a question on Facebook or you know what have you. I asked a question for a burn player last week about sequencing. And they were like, oh, thank you so much. And I was like, cool. I'm really glad that I got to talk to that person today.
You know, and it does. It makes my day better when I get to have a discussion about Magic. I mean, that's why we do the podcast.
Right,
because we like talking about Magic.
Yeah, so. We don't get paid anything for this.
You don't.
I mean, like, you know, anything real. Like, circus peanuts don't count, man.
Sure. I don't get paid anything either. I just like doing the podcast. But that being said, like, join the conversation. It means a lot to us to get to discuss this with you, not just at you. So, don't forget that you can join the MTGO clan by messaging me or Quentin. My name on MTGO is Spencer13Dev, and Quentin's is Earthstripe. So that's spelled URTHYPE, I believe. Or URTS. No. No. URTH Earth.
Yeah.
STRYPE.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah. So, you know, message either one of us. Quentin has access to my account. I have access to his. We can add you to the clan. So, sponsor of this podcast. Don't forget, Oasis Games, the great place to buy Magic cards.
The best place to buy Magic cards.
They also pay us dollar bills.
Yeah, and if you're a local listener, stop by and say hi.
Yeah, we actually had a guy that was in town that I was hoping to, like, meet. It's very often. I think this is, like, the 12th time, it feels like. Mm-hmm. I want to say it might be the 11th. I can't think of them all off the top of my head, but I feel like I remember when I went to Double Digits, where somebody was in Salt Lake City and was like, I'm in Salt Lake, I can't go to Oasis, but I wish I could meet you guys. But if you can, like, I only work 4 days a week, and Manny doesn't work at all, so, like, if you want to meet us, like, and you're in Salt Lake, just let us know. We're happy to help out. Alrighty, so, don't forget that you can become a Patreon supporter at patreon.com. And, you know, it starts at $1, and it's anything you want. There's different levels as we get to different goals. We were to the point where we could do certain things, and something's changed. So we're going to, like, do a lot of things that are really awesome. I'm really excited for when tokens get released, and we can start giving that out to all the Patreon supporters at those levels. I'm excited about it. I think that once things get rolling, you guys will be really excited about it too. And it only happens when we start getting those funds. Unfortunately, things cost money. And this is just our way to give back to you as well as to improve the podcast. If we're going to be doing the podcast like this, I would love us to have individual headsets. And that's something that's very possible with, you know, different equipment that, you know, we can get through things like the Patreon fund. So. Let's talk about where to find us. Where can people find you, Manny?
You can find me on Facebook. I'm part of the Constructive Criticism page. You can find me, add me personally. First name, my name is Manuel. Surprising. This surprises, like, everybody I know. They're like, Manny, what's your first name? Manuel. They're like, what? Manuel, last name Meraz, Meraz, on Facebook. Or if you want to find me on Twitter, my handle there is ENTRPNRFRESH, Entrepreneur Fresh. I love to talk to you guys. I mean, you guys are great. I love magic. I love talking about magic. I mean, I love it.
You can find me on Facebook at Spencer Stephen Howland and on Twitter at Spencer13H. I'm also part of the Constructive Criticism Facebook group, which you can find it's in the show notes, as well as just searching on Facebook for Constructive Criticism Facebook group. You can find the show at constructivecriticism.com, mtgoasis.com, and ccmtg.com. Also, just so that you know, checking out Oasis Games, you'll want to go to mtgoasis.com, oasisgamesllc.com, and, what's the other one?
Which one?
There's MTG Oasis, Oasis Games SLC, and oasisccg.com. There we go. Or oasistcg.com?
Dude, why are there so many?
Because he can't buy oasisgamesslc.com. Alright, let's go to shoutouts. Manny, go ahead.
Shout out to Daniel Gray Lemon. He's another guy at Oasis Games. I like to call him Diamond Danny. He's always covering for me whenever I need to take a little time off or go play an event. He's the man. Thanks, Gray. Diamond Danny.
All right. Shout out to Matt Kling. Really happy for Matt, who is... I think his taking a step away from Magic is probably going to be a good thing. And I hope that whatever Matt does in life, he's successful and happy at it. I love Matt. I love the guy. I've known him for years, and I'm going to go see Star Wars with him, like, just like one of my best friends. And I'm sad to see him go, because I know some of the listeners were, like, enjoying the content that he was putting out, but...
Man, I was enjoying it, too. That guy is so knowledgeable about magic.
Yes, but I love him, and I just want to give him a shout-out. I love the guy. Yeah, so... Hashtag would that be good. So hashtag would that be good is our Twitter outreach program where you can tweet something, we're going to answer it, whether it's on the podcast or on Twitter. This is our way of giving back to the community. You know, it's pretty easy to read a question or a comment that's, you know, 150 characters. So we're going to go ahead and start with... we're going to go ahead and start with the November 16th tweets. So this starts with Eggbeat saying, at Spencer with an H, at King James. This could be the first time...
Who is that? Who's King at King James?
That's LeBron James.
Oh, okay, cool. I just watched a movie he was in. It was hilarious.
Oh, was it...
Trainwreck?
Trainwreck? Oh, I haven't seen it yet, but it sounds really funny.
It was very vulgar, but very funny.
If I vote a Legacy event with Jun, found I set it at Bloodbraid off in most matchups because of Wasteland. Hashtag would that be good. I don't think so. I don't think that you want to side Bloodbraid Elf in most matchups. I guess it depends on the context of your question. So, because of Wasteland, you were signing up 4-drops is interesting. Because, like, you wouldn't side up board out Jace the Mind Sculptor against decks with Wasteland. Because you want to recoup card advantage in some way against a lot of those decks. And the way that you beat things like Delver is through card advantage. So, I don't know that sideboarding out Bloodbraid Elf is the best option.
I think that actually is a very interesting way to do it. I wouldn't say that it's wrong. I wouldn't say that at all. Because, I mean, I've played so many Legacy games where your opponent just has a seemingly infinite amount of Wastelands and you never, ever hit 4 lands. Where, you know, any other card literally in the world is better than a 4-drop that you can't cast. So, I don't know if it's right. I don't know if it's wrong. But I definitely would probably try that. Just to see how it goes.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. The hashtag would be good makes it a question, so the answer to the question for me...
No, I'm saying that you think that it is incorrect, and I'm saying I don't know about that.
Okay, I don't know.
I mean,
because, like, what happens, like...
I mean, you're only playing, like, how many lands in that deck?
I mean, probably 23, 24.
Sure.
I don't know. I mean, you have Deathrite Shaman, Bloodbraid Elf, like...
Yeah, Deathrite definitely helps a lot.
I don't know. I wouldn't do that. I mean, like, I sideboard Bloodbraid Elf against, like, unfair decks, not against Wasteland decks. Mm. So...
I mean, I don't know, it's hard. Rug Delver locks the board down so hard.
That's, like, your best matchup.
Is it? Oh, yeah, that's true. You have Punishing Fires.
I have Punishing Fires and Abrupt Decays and Lightning Bolts.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm talking about. I've played that matchup like 8 dozen times and I've never won it once. So, yeah, for sure.
All right, well, Casey Bloodworth says, hashtag would that be good. It's a picture of him Ancestral recalling his opponent, where his opponent has 2 cards left in his library in Vintage. But it looks like something happened here where it got stopped.
Did they concede?
No, they still have cards in their yard. Huh. I'd assume something stopped it. I don't know what. Something had to have stopped it. I don't know what happened here, Casey. You'll have to... I've never been sadder about a fight for one. I don't know what happened, though. So, Crystal Brand is allegedly targeting Insectile Aberration for something. And then there's a revealed Emrakul on the other side. Oh, he's also watching a replay, so that makes sense. I don't know what happened here, Casey. All I know is that you targeted your opponent when they had 3 cards in hand. They must have Force of Willed it. Must be what happened. No, they misdirected it, where they made you draw 3 cards. I see what happened here. I see the violence inherent in the system. and then 41 cards still on their deck. He blocked with his Griselbrand, and you pyroblasted your own Insectile Aberration.
Oh.
To kill it, so we didn't gain 7 life.
That's what happened.
Good job, Casey.
That was very good.
Good
very
job.
Very well played.
Took some investigative research to figure out what happened here. Hashtag that would be good.
That would be great.
Yeah. You got your Ancestor Recall misdirected for you to draw 3 cards and then killed your own Delver to kill him. This is just great vintage magic right here.
That's good.
Link is wrong. Also, I already listened to this week's LTO. Hashtag would be good. Anyone who's not listening to Limited Time Only should. Drew is like a really good magic player, and if you want to like listen to in-depth talk about limited magic and like a significantly better podcast than Constructive Criticism, you should probably be listening to my podcast, Limited Time Only.
Okay.
Why do you think that's a stab at you?
You're staring at me real hard.
And we're talking.
You know I don't listen to it. You know I don't listen to that podcast.
We're talking, and it's not a stab at you.
I know. I was just fooling.
You looked at me like it was a stab at you. It's crazy, guys. This crazy, Manny.
I sorry, guys. I really hate... I don't like it.
Limited magic?
Yeah, I don't like it.
Oh, I love it more than I love Constructed right now.
I saw. Well, I mean, with that amazing finish today, like, I can
That's
see
That's just
why.
Things that happen in Limited, man.
Freaking crazy. Like, what?
Wizards Magic, you should all make Game Day a block format. It can give time for more cards to shine and support a niche. Hashtag would that be good. I would love that.
That would be really fun. That would be a blast. Hashtag would that be best.
I love block.
Yeah, it's fun.
And it lets you play with like interesting cards that you're gonna play with otherwise. Yeah. And what if Game Day was exclusively block?
Yeah, I think that would be awesome. I think that would be so fun. And I mean, like, no one would be preparing for it.
You
right?
could just
so you're,
like
all on the
it
same
makes,
level.
It makes interesting articles where like people are like, here's our block proofs for your Game Day. Right. Like, go in your Game Day. I would go play in Game Day for that.
Yeah, I mean, the when was the last Block Pro Tour?
Forever ago.
Yeah, it was like Theros? No, it was after Theros.
It was way before, like, 1997, I think.
What?
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I was like, what? No, I mean, it was during
I was going to say something that's not appropriate for the podcast.
Oh, okay.
But, like...
Yeah, I mean...
You know what I was going to say.
Yeah, it was really fun. And, like, all of the speculation was, like, ended up being incorrect. And it was, like, it was really fun. It didn't...
I would, Jason. This is the best idea ever.
Yeah, I think
if
it's
you haven't,
so cool.
I'm gonna favorite this tweet right now.
I'm gonna ask Oasis Games to do that.
I don't think they can.
No, probably not.
But they should.
Right. Could be a side event.
This is the best.
This is good.
Who's a deal, Jason? Go you.
Man, I'm gonna retweet this.
Yeah, me too. Right now, retweet it. You're here live, guys. Favorites, retweets. It's all happening live. Paul says, went 3-0 for the first time playing Burn in my modern FNM. Hashtag, would that be good? Absolutely.
Yeah, it's the best.
Paul hasn't played, like, Magic in forever. And got out to his FNM, 3-0 with Burn.
Sweet. Every time I take Burn to just, like, an FNM or, like, a small Wednesday night event, I almost always go undefeated. It's really good.
All right.
Like, in small venues, it's, like, it's nuts.
They just aren't ready, man.
Uh-uh.
No, that's actually something that's interesting about Affinity that we didn't get to talk about. Is Affinity, do you need to be more prepared for it than people are right now in Modern?
I think everybody's ready for it. Like,
no, it's doing way too well for... Like, it can't actually beat the hate. There's no way people are ready for it.
Well, I mean, you still have to draw your Shatterstorm or Ancient Grudge or whatever. Like, there's a very good chance you don't draw one of your 4 sideboard cards and you just get destroyed.
Sure. All right, so next up we have... I just figured out how Quentin Pierce stays so skinny. Hashtag, would it be good? Why don't you read this?
I will read it. One fart burns approximately 67 calories. Farting 52 times in one day can burn 1 pound of fat.
Hashtag, would that be good?
Hashtag, there's no way that's true.
It can't be true.
That's like impossible.
It's just not true.
You just run like 5 farts real quick.
Yeah. Let me... That's more calories than you burn running a mile.
Yeah, exactly. Like, every time I'm on a treadmill and, like, I'm staring at the calorie counter with, like, these big, giant, hateful eyes, it's going, like, slower than anything.
Yeah. There's no way that this is true. But also, Quentin Pierce farts more than anyone I know.
Oh, I see. I've never really hung out with Quentin. We've, like, done events together. Like, we played beer pong once, but, like, we never just chilled, me and that guy.
I love Quentin Pierce.
I like him a lot.
Yeah. Busy. But he farts a lot.
Okay.
Matt Kling has some great flatulent stories.
You know what? Now that you say that, I could, looking at him, I could see that, him being a farter. Just, you know, just uncontrollable.
He looks like a farter.
Uncontrollable flatulence, that guy, yeah. What? I would believe
what it. What does that mean?
Just, he has that look about him.
What is that look?
I mean, he looks like Quentin.
He looks like Quentin. Quentin! All right. Anything you want to say to these guys before we go?
Thank you for listening.
Yeah, it was just a good podcast. You know, we got to talk about farts and magic. So, what are you, two? You're laughing at that?
Yeah, farts are always going to be funny. I don't care how old I get. The other day I was in a bathroom and, like,
it
was
do
a bathroom.
I need, do they a, need to know this story?
Yeah, it's a good one. So it was a public bathroom and this guy, like, in a stall, like, I was washing my hands, he just farted so loud. And, like, hey, trying to be, you know, a 26-year-old man, like, I, like, bite my teeth and my lips, and I just hold in my giggles, like, as hard as I
You're
can.
You're four.
Yeah, like, I'm 4 years old. I just, like, try and hold it and be as silent as I can until I get out of the bathroom. Like, farts will always be funny.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for listening. Manny's 4 years old. And I'm excited. This was fun.
Yeah, this is a good time.
This is what you wanted when you joined the podcast.
Yeah, really, yeah, this is what I was hoping for.
Well, you got your wish. I hope everybody enjoyed this old format that we used to do. And yeah, thanks everyone for listening, and we'll see you all next week.
See you next week. Magic.